Just to go over some of the notes on the top of the agenda, items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or any discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter outside of the agenda or planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting of order to the Board of County Commissioners, BCC, or the Board of County Planning Commission for final action. No process is recommended committee. Board. So the final action will be wherever this is going to be heard next, that's the Board of County Commissioners and Planning Commission. This time, please turn off and mute all cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all quiet conversations outside of the room, this is lobby and back, in the survey back here. And I'll make the last two words. Let the record reflect that Kimberly Switzland is chair and Trenton Cheesley was not here tonight, so just leave the three of us. And county introductions.
This is Pleasant County Commissioner, Mr. Stapleton.
Reading Bernard, that's.
Okay, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote will be taken on this agenda. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction without appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public are listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the table here. We have a microphone. And please give us your name and address. Spell your last name for the secretary and do this again. If any member of the board wishes to extend a length of presentation, it should be done by the chairperson or the board member. I enjoy the vote. Do we have approval of the minutes for July 29, 2025? I forgot that. Does anybody have anything to say right now?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm making a motion to approve the minutes for July 29, 2025.
We have a motion to approve the minutes for July 29, 2025. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the agenda for August 12, 2025. Any votes? Advise on these.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion for approval of the agenda this evening with the hold of item number 2UC250169, object dash LLC. The applicant has requested this be held for 2 weeks, which will be our August 26th meeting.
We have a motion to approve the agenda and I have a small motion to provide the hold on item 2 of the August 26th meeting by all in favor.
Aye.
Are there any information? So we'll move on to planning and zoning. Item number 1, TM 4550129, resident LLC, and map consisting of a 1-lot commercial subdivision called 17.57 acres in CG Urban General Zone, are located south side of the main road in West and west of Burnham.
Paragraphs represent the applicant for zero three four three two one. So I guess 9120. This is just to build that Springs Hospital. There's five parcels there. We're going to combine all into one commercial subdivision to bring it all into compliance. So we don't have to sort of discuss it on the property.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? 16 law, and I'll move it to the public and open it to the board.
Make a motion to approve this item subject to the preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion to approve the item, 17 staff preliminary conditions, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number two is held by the UC250169, object national NC, August 26th. Item number three, UC250510, held by associates, held by state, used to be the school. Design review for post-school and site modifications, a portion of 6.70 acres on the CG, commercial general zone, containing the airport of RNZ60, and Maryland Parkway, which is in the east, Maryland Parkway, and what we show, avenue of inheritance. Is the applicant representing?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to trail this item to the end of the meeting.
We have a motion to trail item three, we have all meeting all there.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number four, UC250525, urban land, open enterprise, LLC, used to be the vocational training facility in conjunction with existing office on a portion of 1.82 acres in CP commercial professional zone, generally located in the Silverado Ranch, Florida, in Western Florida, for variance. Is the applicant representing?
Yeah, right here. Come on forward, give your name and address.
The address is 700 East Silverado Ranch, unit 120, Las Vegas, 891. So we are trying to open a training center for martial arts at this location, and the building, everything is done already, so it's just that the zoning is not allowed before because the parking space was less than 90, I think. But now we already redo the parking spaces. It's total more than 90, so everything moves according to what is required to open the location.
Yeah, there's also a desire here to have insurance for the design. So is that it?
Okay.
Is there anyone here that probably wants to speak on this side? Seeing no one, this is probably open for the board. No one has any comment, I'm making a motion to approve some of the staff conditions. So to eliminate your staff conditions, all in favor?
Aye.
The next four are Clark County of Clark. Is that happening here? County of Clark? Okay, do you want all four of them ran? Item number five, PA25700029, Plan Amendment to Redesignate Existing Land Use Category for Public Years to Year 2, Contact Neighborhood Sienna, 17.35 acres, generally located in the south of Lavendale and east of the University of Tupelo, with the areas. Item number six, VC250510, County of Clark, Public Works, motion. To reclassify 17.35 acres showing RS time to residential single family 5.2 zone to the RF18 residential multifamily 18. Through zone generally located south of Lavendale Road and consideration to the paradise. And number 7-25051 County of Clark Public Works, they came abandoned a portion of the right of way being Lavendale located between Interstate 215 and 90 mile quarter of the appearance. Item number 8, OC 25-05-12, Karen Clark, of the works use permit for senior housing. Waivers of development standards of the following: one, increase retaining wall height; two, eliminate unutilized parking spaces; and three, reduce curb. Design review for proposed multifamily residential development for senior housing on 17.35 acres in the RM19 residential multifamily 18 zone. Generally located south of Malcolm Hill Road and east of Interstate 215 within the limits.
In approximately June of 2024, the county put out an RFP requesting proposals to do an affordable senior project on this property. In November of 2024, the county awarded that RFP to Ovation Development. And now the land use that is flowing is fully stemming from the results of that RFP and that award to Ovation. So, as is indicated on the record, sorry, my site's going the wrong way, they're running away from me, but to the north along here, this is Robin Hill. Then you have what I'll call parcel one, and it is separated by Duck Creek Channel right here. And then you have parcel two. Farther to the south is Windmill Drive down this end. We have a number of applications. For starters, we have a plan amendment to go from starters, we have a plan amendment to go from public use to compact neighborhood. Then we also have a zone change to go from RSI to define. Then we have a vacation that would allow for detached sidewalks along Robindale with one clarification. There are some existing utility boxes, and so where there are utility boxes and things like that, we are not able to detach the sidewalk. And then finally, what really is the meat of the project is the use permit as a design review for the senior multifamily. So I'll walk you through that further in development. Coming in, all access will come in and off of Robindale Road. We also have an emergency access gateway at this location for emergency vehicles. We, as part of this project, will be constructing two bridges that will go across the Duck Creek lot or the Duck Creek channel. And those will be available both for cars as well as vehicles. When you enter into the site, here you have the first building right here. And then you'll see that that's really centered in the middle of the site with amenities over in this area on the outside. All of the buildings are two-story in height, and they are roughly 35 feet in height. Then as you come across either one of the bridges, you get to where the buildings 2 and 3 would be located. On the south side of the flood channel, again, we have parking located in the exterior around here. This is an entirely accessible building on the inside, which means you won't see any doors or stairwells on the outside of the building. I'll show you the elevations in a moment, but all of the units are accessed via interior hallways. What the elevations look like. So as you can see on these elevations, there are no external stairwells or doors. That's all access via internal hallways. There's a total of 363 units that consist of one bedroom and two bedroom units. When we responded to the RFP, it asked for a range of roughly 30% to 60% area median income or ALI. So the rents that we project are based upon those. We have rents for the one bedrooms at 30% AMI, and then we have rents of one bedrooms for the 60% AMI, and then the same is true for the two bedrooms, both for the 30 and 60% AMI. From an open space standpoint, you can see the site almost doubles in terms of what is required by code, roughly 72,000 square feet of open space is required, and the applicant is providing a little more than double that at 249,000 square feet of open space. The residential sits to the east, obviously 215 sits over on this side. And so just a couple things to point out. The building proximity from building number one over the east side is approximately 130 feet away. Again, it's two stories in height. And then we have a couple of pinch points here. It's really right about here, but this is on the south of the channel. It's about 85 feet away from that east mount. We are going to build a secondary block wall along not only the east boundary, but also the west and south of 8 feet in height. And of note is that the landscape buffer on the east side is 30 feet wide. In terms of waivers, we have three waivers. We have a retaining wall height. That's due to the slope and the elevations because of the channel. We also have the retaining walls are along the channel right in this area. And then we also have a waiver for the EV spaces provided. You know, that can be a sensitive subject, but the number that we're providing is the max that we think we'll need, and we're not providing any capable. And then we also have a waiver for throat depth. That's for this driveway off of Rockingdale. You'll know that staff is recommending approval of that, but there's also a condition that they added that says we're fine with that, but there can be no gates. So this community will not have a gated entry. So with that, staff is recommending approval of that entrance on the inside. We did our required neighborhood meeting. There could be some people here from that. At the time of the neighborhood meeting, you know, there's definitely concerns about the number of units in the density. But what we did in response to some of those comments was putting in that secondary 8-foot block wall along the east boundary. There is a block wall there today in the back of those homes that we are putting in a secondary boundary, secondary wall at 8 feet in height, and then we increase that landscape buffer to 3 feet wide along that east buffer. And we have, of course, the number of trees. Staff is recommending approval of all the applications, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
So, everyone here in the public would like to ask a question. Sir, come forward with your information and address for the record.
Devin Lewis, 1670 PBS, service.
Any questions? Questions?
My question is on the limited. Parking spaces. That's not clear to me. Are they saying totally eliminate them or partially eliminate them? And I need a little clarity on that. That's the only one that was a real concern with me. The other turning wall might be.
Is there anyone else who wants to?
Said something so we did talk about the landscape buffer adjacent to the residential losses. So that we can ensure that those trees are actually planted and can make that a condition that double over the trees actually.
It's in the application.
It's required.
Yes.
And you guys can come. I've seen many projects. Ovation is one of the better developed, but they come back and they do value engineering. And landscape is one of the first things to go unless there's a condition for the building.
Thank you for the anything
else. No, you addressed the 8 foot tall wall on this property line. The retaining wall height increases on the wall.
Is there anyone else who wants to speak on that? Sir? No, sir, before we have a chance. Who's that?
they're going at 30%, 60% AMI. That's going to directly hurt rental prices in the neighborhood, which can directly reflect a down in a market right now. Real estate market right now. I am a full-time realtor, so you know what I'm speaking about. In a down market right now, because there's more inventory than there are buyers, by directly affecting rental income, that's going to lower the property values on your rate. That's a major concern of everybody in the city. Number two, the traffic that's going to bring into that area is going to increase traffic on Robindale and Tanner. So it's private. Robindale, not so much, but Tanner's a private neighborhood. People sometimes use the thruway. That's a serious concern for all of our other residents in that area as well. Number three, an 8-foot wall is going to do nothing on a two-story building to impede. They're going to actually have more access to invade the local properties right along that border. They're going to be invading the properties because that wall is remote high enough to keep from people invading the properties. What else do we have? Potential for changing demographics in that neighborhood is highly influenced by this property. They're saying possible senior living, that's not guaranteeing innovation as a wider range of people than a lot of other buildings. So that can increase the demographics, which could possibly increase crime in the neighborhood. Another concern of all of our residents. And that is about all I have.
Anyone else would like to say?
And then all they need to do is just we'll get to you, ma'am. Don't worry.
Yeah, I missed a little bit coming in here because I'm late. I need to find out, since these are low income housing. Pardon?
Your name and
address. Oh, I'm Richard Kalin. I live at 1139 Regal Lily Way in the Summergate community. Now, are you allowing Section 8 people to move into these homes? Because I've had some lived in Summergate before, and it caused a lot of problems in that area. We had cops out here. We had children that lived there that were unsupervised, and other issues that went on in the past. Because even one of them attempted to break in the mailbox and tried breaking people's homes. So I'm kind of to the point where I'm intolerant of things like that. I don't have patience for things like that anymore. And I care about my neighborhood. So I was wondering if that's what you're allowing into these low-income facilities, or is there going to be stipulations put on the people that live here? Another thing I want to address is that when I was over in Summergate a long time ago, that wall over there in that community, they had the wall had some type of failures in structural when it was built. It had some structural problems with where it, I don't know if it's falling over or whatever. Summergate tried to get with some engineers and fix it. I don't know what the outcome whatever that was. So I don't know if it's something you might want to look at and see if the structural still looks good over on that side. What is that, the west side? I was hoping I would be able to move into that because I'm looking for a senior two-bedroom home. So apparently that doesn't include me anymore.
Any other questions?
That's it.
This lady here, ma'am. No, name and address and talk to us.
My name is Jacqueline Harris, 167 Keeley.
You need to talk to
her. Ask the questions here, because we're going to repeat them to her to ask her all at once.
She's going to have a lot of questions. Just to ask us.
I think this is the one copy of this paper. That's all.
Anyone else in the comments, please?
So, hi, Dr. Flores. I also live at 1482 Little Rock Court in So my biggest concern having a little one is, again, cameras. You only have one exit. It's not a highway. Windmill is. I don't understand why you guys would have an additional, you're putting so much extra traffic on Robindale that, and my husband, I said, Tamaris, we're already having massive issues. So we've had, in our last HOA, we had a meeting of gating off our entire community for the simple reason of impeding traffic going over 35 miles an hour. I have a 5.5-year-old. He could, you know, it's ridiculous that there's no speed bumps, no nothing. They just put in a traffic light. But my biggest concern is you have one exit for every single one of those properties, and it's on Broadway. There's no additional, like, Windmill's the highway. Robindale's not a highway. To me, that's my biggest concern, is I don't like all the extra traffic. And on top of that, there's no apartment complexes within miles. This is a residential, single-family residential area. This is not a multi-family apartment complex area. It's not. I mean, I'd like to know where the nearest, because I know for a fact that it's not anywhere close. There's no other apartment complexes. They're not apartment complexes or single-family homes. So, I mean, that's my biggest concern, is the impeding traffic, the extra, the value of the homes going down, and the exit.
Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close this public
and when he closes it to the public, that means there's no more comments. So you're just going to have the whole thing to yourself for the next step.
Right.
Okay, Jennifer Lastage, representing the developer. So I think first was a question about the EV charging waiver that you had. So the county code requires every project, whether it's commercial or multifamily, it doesn't apply to single family residential, but to have a certain number of EV provided, meaning their electric vehicle charging stations where you can plug in and charge while parked there. And then capable, which means at some point in the future you can put more in. And so the request for this application is to eliminate all of the EV-capable parking spaces, where 91 would be required. It doesn't mean we're eliminating parking spaces. It means that we're just eliminating the requirement to put in another 90, make 91 of those parking spaces EV-capable. Perhaps I should have started with, and my apologies if I did not make this clear. The RFP that the county put out was for a senior project. Senior is defined as 55 and older. The use permit that is with this application is specifically for senior housing. So the comments that were, and I understand, relating to the fear of perhaps the people who would live here and the mischief that could occur because of that, these are all residents who are 55 and there are some minor exceptions. If you have a caregiver or a spouse who is less than 55, they could live with you, but the one of those people in that unit must be 55 or older. Ovation has a number of senior affordable, meaning 55 and older, projects around the valley. They are senior, they don't turn into, well, they said they were senior and now they're family and now they're all ages. They remain senior. Again, it was the desire of the county to fill some of that need when they put out that RFP for what kinds of projects could be over there, so that's and trying to fill that need. We would be fine to the comment from Mark about the double, by adding a condition that requires us to install a double row of trees along the East Boundary. yes, our landscape plan shows up, and I understand where he's coming from. It helps if it's a condition. So if you want to add it as a condition, applicant to install a double row of trees along the east boundary would be fine with us. And then, there's the comment about the traffic and the single access point off of Robindale. So if you look back at this area, there is only one place with the way the site is broken up. You can only gain access to this property off of Robindale. There's no ability to get access to the east. Obviously, you can't go to the west because it's 6215. We'll do bridges across the Duck Creek channel, and there's no street that runs on the southern boundary. So yes, all access to whatever we're going to build here would come on and off of Robindale. The preliminary with Public Works, they looked at this. They have not expressed any concern with it. That said, we do, we are required as a condition of approval to provide a traffic study to the county for them to review and approve. I can tell you that Ovation's done a lot of projects in this valley. They know what works in terms of traffic and capability and site design. And you know that the access point on and off of Robindale, along with the emergency access gate, is sufficient to meet code requirements. In terms of the traffic comment, you know, again, it goes back to understanding knowing that this project is designed for seniors who are 55 and older. They are also on a fixed income. The rents are reflect that, which means that what we've seen in other affordable senior projects that Ovation has done is we have a number of residents who don't have cars. We work with providers to do shuttles and things like that. We also have activities that come to the properties. So it isn't a big traffic adder in the sense of a regular multi-family, no age limit, everybody's got at least one car, maybe two cars. That's not this kind of project. This kind of project is affordable senior, and again, in our experience with these projects around the Las Vegas Valley, a number of those residents won't even have a vehicle. Not all of them. We're still providing a parking, but a number of them won't even have a vehicle. I think that answers all, or at least most of the questions that I
that I can answer. So there was a comment about 30%, 60% of the AMR in Section 8?
Yes, I mean, I guess I don't know how to directly address that other than to say it is an affordable project. We are not hiding that fact. I would offer from my experience that for a rental project like this, that's a multi-family rental project, isn't really comparative to a single family home being rented. I think that those are two different products. Therefore, I don't believe that the 30 to 60% AMI in this project would negatively impact a rent or a rental of a single family home in the surrounding area.
I'd like to start. These types of things make me so angry. Because you don't have money doesn't mean you're less than and they shouldn't be allowed to live near you. You could have a neighbor in your million-dollar neighborhood that's a mass murderer and you don't know. You could be a drug addict. You could have mental problems. You could go shoot up your neighborhood and you wouldn't know because it came from a nice neighborhood. I mean, we have shooting today that they had no idea that their poor kid was going to go off and shoot up a bunch of people at the CDC. So for you to be upset that someone lives in an apartment complex that costs less than yours is just totally unfair and ridiculous and what's wrong with things in this country right now. As far as the market rate, this we review code. We don't review market rates. Anybody can lease their property for whatever they want to. It has nothing to do with the fact that this is zoned for this type of property. It should be in there. Multifamily is a buffer type of property. It's buffering the freeway from the residential homes, because people in residential homes don't want to live up against a freeway, and that's why it's allowed that way. No matter what you put there, and something is going to go there, it's going to bring traffic in. It could be a shopping center, and I'm sure you'd all be here griping about that, but it's going to be something. Size of the wall is plenty high. It's a very attractive complex, residential complex. It's not a warehouse, it's not a factory, it's not something that needs to be hidden so that you don't see the less than people that you don't want in your neighborhood. As far as your concerns, Jennifer, on the EV units, it says you're doing 11. 91 is, I've had this discussion about the county before, NV Energy must have the resources to even supply you 91. So for a code to say you have to put in 91 EV, you don't even, it's not going to fit there. The amount of the transformers they would have to bring in, the lines to run. And if it really becomes important, those EV companies are paying for sites. So to require them to spend money makes no sense. So I have no problem with waiving that development. I have a standard also. I believe that the height of the wall is fine and the throat depth should be fine. So I see no reason whatsoever to not approve all the waivers.
Review it and the laws would be sufficient for the way.
Yes.
My concern was the walk-in entrance. I understand their concern, and I understand the concerns there. I did not know that there was not an entrance available. So you answered that question for me.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve items 5, 6, 7, and 8, subject to preliminary staff conditions. Oh, I would. Okay. That's on item number 8. We will add a condition to say that a double row of trees that is noted in the application will become a condition.
I just have a clarification. It's a double row of trees along the east boundary.
On the east boundary.
So let's serve the motion all in favor.
Aye.
Motion carries. There was one lady that wanted to see if she could talk to her.
The backup. I think you just need the backup.
Yeah, that was the backup. Item number 9, WC 1540081, CZ076901, Sunset Road Company LLC, waiver conditions of a zone change requiring the recording of reciprocal perpetual cross access, ingress, egress, and parking agreements in conjunction with the proposed office warehouse on 1.06 acres in Highland Industrial Park Zone. Within the airport environs, 865 and 370, generally located on north of Sunset Road and east of Crown Drive within the airport. Is the applicant here? And you're the applicant?
Yes.
Okay, would you like number 10 right into the record as well?
Yes, if we could. Yes.
Item number 10, WS250509, Sunset Road Company LLC. Waiver of development standards for the following: eliminate buffering and screening to allow a cast sidewalk and three reduced roadway. Design review for proposed office warehouse on 1.06 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport environs 8065 and 8070 over. generally located on north of Sunset Road and east of Cloud Drive and Barrens.
Good evening, Sheldon Cullen, representing the applicant, 2140 East Pebble Road, Suite 140, the project in front of you is a 24,000 square foot warehouse project. And trying to push it back as far off of the main road as possible to not overpower as you drive by. And as you can see, the dots, even though they are facing the street, they are quite a ways back, so they aren't right in everybody's space also. On this side of the project, there's that 14-foot wall that they're referring to. It's an existing wall that separates this from the adjacent property. And that's just one of the requests that we're asking for later. I'm sure you what the building's going to look like. Order's been called, one user, and I am here to answer any questions. So, one thing I want to point out is one of the requests, one of the items that staff had was they were looking for a detached sidewalk, and since there's utilities over here, entrance, the only place is about a 10-foot detached sidewalk here, so we felt, and actually we did talk to staff about this, but they just can't support it, but we just felt it wasn't worth 10 feet, and also we have a NDOT issue, who's taking care of that, so we felt just a attached sidewalk is what it was best here.
General, we probably would like you to speak up so you don't want to open it. Close the public hearing to the board.
Do you have a site plan that shows where this is with any of the developments? Because aren't there other warehouses around?
I don't have a full size.
Okay. So
it's got a small one. As you can see, there's stuff on either side. And, sorry, there's stuff on either side. And,
so this is the funding. The Rivero project is close by?
I believe so.
Okay. Because I know there's a lot of warehouses there, but I just couldn't pinpoint which one this was.
It's kind of this one.
Yeah. And so that is why staff is saying, okay, you have that in the detached sidewalk because it's never been built, so now's the time to do. But all the way down Sunset, what you technically do is walk along Sunset and all of a sudden you come in and come back there.
Yeah.
And so,
and because you know, if we were going to go all the way across, maybe then we'd have a good reason to do the detached. But with the utilities here, it was so small. Did that answer?
That answered my question.
Yeah, it's the person who is. Occupying it is also no. I think sometimes they said they only get one truck every few days. Yeah.
Well, if no one has any comments or questions, I make a motion to approve items 9 and 10, subject to preliminary staff conditions.
We have a motion.
Thank you so much.
Okay. No, two we held, we're going back because we trailed somebody. Oh, on him. Oh, no, we approved it all. It was all about us. We got two. So are you item number 3? Yes. Okay.
Alright. Item number 3. UC 250520 LY Associates LLC. Use permit for a school. Design review for proposed school and site modifications on a portion of 6.70 acres of the CG commercial zone within the airport environs of 60. Maryland Parkway overlay, generally located east of Maryland Parkway and north of Michelle within this.
Michael Livingston, representing the
Okay. Michael is an I test to it for one of you last. So the project is La Plaza LXABC, which was came up with especially approved with conditions since the actual but it's no longer performing as a choice on the building B. Just briefly to give you a location, a plaza is in the general area of the university, and even though most of these buildings have been of office use, that is changing and proposing this as an educational use within the environment of the university seems to be the right way to go. The property has been since about 1980, and it's I've been the architect there for 15 years, so I know the building is very well in good condition. And ideal for the proposed use to move from an office use to educational use. So we are requesting special use permit to convert these into an educational use. So basically what we would be doing is we're not going to make any changes to the footprint. Because the parking requirement for educational use is less than office use, we are able to remove parking spaces in the central area and use that convert it to a sports area with four party sport in there. The building, as I said, will not change on the outside except there are these metal panels we propose to paint these different colors to give more of a sort of an educational appearance. In addition to making improvements to the center here, we will be adding landscaping to Title 30 along Maryland Avenue and on the street here. So at least there would be a visual buffer. And then we would provide security fencing for the interior area in order to provide security to the students. So typically we have a floor area that we would, for each building we would, as we have already done building B for the top half, we would convert those into classrooms with student lounges and accommodation required. This drawing was not part of the original application, but since I read the staff report, there has been a tendency to problem with the actual buildings themselves and the use. The main concern is the number of students that will be going in there. So basically,
which came up before in terms of the access into the area, to access the three different buildings. When you compare this to, we would have about 540 students in each three buildings, which are proposed for middle school, elementary, and senior. When you compare this to other Clark County high schools like MG High or Coronado, they have an occupancy rate of about 3,000 plus. So we would be looking at about 1,600, which is much less than that. And an analysis of the actual approach would, on Escondido, we have 240 feet that people could back up and could access in the right-hand lane, which is typical of the other schools. The seniors, percentage of those driving by that age anyway, but they would have 240 plus 180 feet to the building drop off. And then the elementary school, which is Plaza B, would have 540 feet coming up to the approach. And then building A, which is elementary, would actually have 900 feet. And as is typical of an education facility, the staff, they arrange the schedules for access, and obviously any congestion. And that has not been a problem to date, where building B is hardly 400 students the floor. So the traffic would come in and it would leave to the right path of the rest of the media, no access to the parkway that would be encouraged. So that is basically what we'd be asking for. We'd be asking for a special use permit for these three buildings. Of note, federal government occupies two buildings down here, and they wouldn't have any making that access from Rochelle. So, where there was a concern before that having students mixed up in this community is no longer the case, since the office residents will no longer be replaced by school use. I think one of the problems that the previous use had in building B was it was surrounded by other uses and it wasn't an educational environment. The central area here had a small recreational area, not really conducive to a more sort of campus setting. And I think this, with the added access, we are in the parkway that would be attractive. The owner wants to achieve the special use permit because through Michael Hills and Associates Real Estate specializing in rentals to educational uses, they would want to keep this as active as possible. So that's my presentation.
Thank you very much. Somebody would like to speak on the item.
So
I'll open the close the public and open the public.
I have a couple of questions. So which federal agencies are on the project, on the site?
Now there are no federal agencies within buildings at ABC.
No, I know, but what are they below?
Below, it's the GSA and building E is the emergency response.
Okay. I know from my own personal experience in property management
there are federal agencies, you do have to have distance between schools. So I want to make sure that they verify that those two agencies don't have clauses and say there can be children in that area. I don't know if that's something they've checked, but that's a concern. Which charter school is this going to be?
The district's the owner of working through Michael Stilson, is keeping that open.
Okay.
To various inquiries because they can't move into the charter.
Okay, well, that was an issue in the previous permit that was there, if you read the history, is that they were rejected the first time around because the charter school didn't have a license in the state of Nevada. So you don't even have a school yet, let alone one that's licensed in Nevada. So they are jumping, putting the ball before the whatever you want to say. One way, but that's I'm specifically going by the history of the county, and they're in, because one of your justifications is, well, there was one there before. Well, the one that was there before didn't have a charter school with the license. They rejected the special use permit. So they came back and said, okay, here we are, here's our license. They approved it. So I'm just going by precedent. Until you have someone, we're putting the cart before the horse. We just don't want to change, give a special use permit to somebody that doesn't exist yet. I'm just making a statement.
Yeah.
And
I mean, then
the other thing is you're proposing 1,620 students. If it's a charter school and they don't have a bus, that's a minimum of 1,000 parents who need drop. Day. 1,000 parents. That's not every student. You might have two. One might walk from, I don't know where, or there. I'm just throwing 1,000 cars coming in and out of there at that area. The plus, it's been a long time. I actually managed that back in 1990 for a short time. I managed a lot of things. So I know there's been a lot of issues with it. We've had a lot of ownership. But based on where you are today, I'm going to recommend denial of the entire application until they're better prepared.
Sorry, I missed that one.
My recommendation is going to be denial. We'll see what my cohorts say.
Oh, I see what you said.
Well, I think that's a very quite possible step. That's a problem with circulation. And you haven't showed anything about. As my colleagues suggested here, you've got a minimum of 1,000 parents walking there. And staff has a problem with circulation, and you haven't talked anything about facing that drop off. You know, like, since you do some new high school person, or you have high school, whatever it is, you go from all those cars back at one time, and then go out on marathon.
No.
You don't have any
very good address either.
Okay.
We did address that. We did
address. They're coming in on Carmel Parkway.
No, they're coming in from this
okay.
And going out on
Carmel Parkway.
No, they're going out.
So they're in and out of Bellar Park on the same street, same side.
That's crazy. And you have no control over, you haven't shown anything about how you're going to control that.
Well, they can't because they don't have a school within.
I mentioned that typically the manager or staff from school are responsible for ensuring that there is congestion, not one congestion, not even a statement in the justification of sort of legislating here.
Well, fortunately.
Unfortunately
or unfortunately, this is not our first rodeo when it comes to charter schools and parking issues, and there will be a public review, and believe me, the neighbors are going to come back and tell us how poorly the school staff did in controlling the traffic, and then we have to create a rule. So we've heard this before, but a
unless Renee has something different. You want to say anything?
All right. I have the same concern with traffic. I mean, how you say you encourage them to use that Neal Street. If I'm a mom in a rush, there's not much we can do to encourage them.
Well, the problem would be that the access point from there up would be blocked during ingress and egress hours. They would know that coming in from Mr. Neal is a one way route.
I don't think the fire department is going to block any access. So, with that, I'm going to make a motion to deny this application in full.
Are there motions to deny the application full in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Go on and plan.
Board of County Commissioners on number 3.
No, he's Planning Commission 92.
Because
he worked a lot from the hour back. So it's Planning Commission 92.
Okay, general business. Comments by the general public. If you're in the voting house, by the general public about matter of the board, first session will be held on a special action or home routine last agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the microphone. Please state your name and address, and please go to the last name of the record. If any member of the board wishes to attend a presentation, this will be the chairperson of the board, Donald Trumbull. Yes. Okay. Moving on, next meeting is August 26th, 2025. Got a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Got a motion to adjourn, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
What would we have had the last bit?